Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
I'm here. I was talking to the legendary Rich Ackerman. He's on his way out. I was telling him have a good weekend. And we were also chatting about some beers. Shout out to the good folks at Friday Beers, Almost Friday. I got the package. And I've never cracked a beer on the job. I've never drank on the job. But I will definitely crack a beer in here. Because it's Friday, on my way out. Probably the last break and, you know. Post those guys. Shout out to the guys at Friday Beers. Talk about, like, you know, people believing in you or having a vision. Man, I saw those guys come in a mile away. I saw those guys in 2018, 2019. They're huge now. And they have a whole internet culture and a whole universe. And now they've actually turned Friday Beers into actual beers. The packaging looks awesome. And I'm going to try one of the beers before I get out of here. If you've seen those Almost Friday memes or pictures, they basically slap Almost Friday over anything. It'll be like Scottie Scheffler's mugshot, Almost Friday. Well, those are them. Shout out to those guys. So, we were also talking about Francisco Lindor because he's balling. He was 4-for-4 last night, 2-for-4 tonight. Oh, come on. We need a better throw, Jose Iglesias. I was about to say, just got that double play going. Quickly gets it to Jose Iglesias, but Jose Iglesias not able to get a good throw to Pete Alonso. And, you know, Ack says, you know, I'm a Lindor guy. And I said, I'm not. And he's like, well, why aren't you a Lindor guy? I'm like, I'm indifferent on the guy. He gets paid a lot of money, and I don't think he's that good. And I wasn't a fan of him with the Cleveland Indians going against the New York Yankees. And then I remember, I forget what year it was, 2021 in the Subway Series. Didn't he hit like 3 homers? He had something to say to Giancarlo Stanton, and then he did the thumbs down stuff. And I don't know. I won't say that I'm not a Lindor guy. I'm just indifferent. Then he brought up, you know, I was like, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not a Mets fan. I don't got to root for the guy. And he's like, oh, well, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I like Anthony Volpe. And I'm like, oh, but that's different. That's different. Anthony Volpe's the man. Jersey, shout out to Volpe. I said before, and I kind of teased it, that His 21-game hit streak ended last night, and I literally don't care because he's been great. And he's such a pro and such a baseball guy. You know, they gave him the challenge of moving him from the sixth spot in the fourth series of this year, and they said, all right, kid, you're going to lead off for us. And he struggled a little bit, but he came out of it and started balling. And shout out to Meredith. I'm not blaming Meredith. She's just doing her job. But after the game on Tuesday, when Volpe got to 21, or was it Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday, because last night was Thursday, and he didn't get to 22. Susan hit him with a stat that I know these guys don't, they don't look at Twitter. They don't look at stats. They're not like us. Like, they live in a different world. These guys are playing the game, going to the hotel, locking in, going to sleep, coming back the next day. Now the Mets are throwing the ball around too much. They're throwing the ball around the infield, not playing sharp. And they were just out early, back-to-back days on the infield, you know, before the game, working on stuff. But back to Volpe. Let me see here. Vientos gets it. That's a good enough throw. It's Iglesias again. Yeah, where's Jeff McNeil? Jose Iglesias is blowing the game. Oh, I'm just playing. We'll talk Jose Iglesias, too, before I get out of here. But with Volpe, the stat was Longest hitting streaks at age 23 or younger in Yankees history. Volpe joined the likes of Joe DiMaggio, who had a 21-game hitting streak in 1937 from July 23rd to August 12th. And then he had a 22-game hitting streak June 27th to July 21st in that same year. So, I mean, there were so many people already asking about DiMaggio and 56. And I'm like, what are we talking about? Like, we can't, like, don't even talk about 56 until we get to like 50. But Meredith hit him with that stat, and he's like, you know, that sounds great when you hear it, but, like, I'm just trying to be consistent. And then he, I think, was 0 for 4 yesterday. It doesn't matter. Whatever. I know he worked some walks, and, man, I heard Jack Curry say this, and I don't agree with it, but so many people in baseball say it, that a walk is as good as a hit. A walk is only as good as a hit if somebody eventually comes up and drives you in. I know they were walking the ballpark last night, walking in runs, and then Juan Soto came up with the bases-clearing triple. But, yeah, let's get back to the phones. Yankee fans are on the line. I want to talk a little bit. Let's go to Jay in New London on the Fan. What's up, Jay?
Hey, I don't know if you remember me. I called you a few months back, and I coached for the United States Coast Guard. And I don't know if you remember the call.
But what else did we talk about? I mean, it's
we talked about a lot of stuff. The Knicks, the 70 and 73 Knicks.
And you said you coached for the you coach for the United States Coast Guard
Coast
baseball?
Guard Academy football team.
Oh no, and I do remember now. Yes.
Yeah, and what I was going to say, I wanted to talk about Yankees, but I was talking to you. This is crazy. We had a recruit who heard me. And because he heard me online talking about the Knicks that his dad was a fan of, he committed to us. So I was just saying, hey, thank you. And I'm going to offer you this. If you ever want to come to a United States Coast Guard Academy football game, I will give you a ticket. And it's down in New London, Connecticut, right on the river. Long Island Sound. And I will host you.
Maybe, man. I love football. Obviously, I played growing up, and you know, if I'm ever in that area, for sure, I do remember that call that night, and that's crazy. You know, you ended up getting a commit over, you know, a call to the radio.
You know, it's crazy. It was, but I was calling because I'm sitting right now looking out Long Island Sound because I live right on the Sound. But I listen to you all the time. You have a great show. I'm busy. I coach. I do all kinds of stuff, but I listen to you all the time. But that was a crazy thing. The guy called me and said, I heard you talking to FAN, and you're a Knicks fan, and I'm a Knicks fan, and my son's coming to Coast Guard.
It's simple as that. All it takes is, you know, especially in recruiting, all it takes is one thing of familiarity or something in common, and it's like, yeah.
Yep. Cool. But I was going to say, I was calling about the Yankees, too. I watch them. I coach baseball. I've been coaching college sports for 35 years, and they got some guys like that Gleyber Torres kid. They should not trade him. They should keep him.
Okay.
I know he's not going. He's not playing great right now, but that kid is a great player. Volpe, without question, is. But
I don't know. I got to stop you there. If we're comparing Volpe and Gleyber, right?
No. I'm not. I think Volpe's a better player.
He's just more disciplined. Of course, he's going to make some mistakes and some errors as a second-year player at shortstop. He's more locked in, though. I feel like he's more focused. Gleyber, to me, lacks the focus. There's just so many times he's asleep at the wheel. I think physically, naturally, Gleyber has the tools. And Gleyber, when he was coming up, I always talk about when I first heard of him, he was the MVP of the Arizona Fall League. He was supposed to be this prodigy. They were comparing him to Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna, Fernando Tatis Jr. as the next wave of young phenom Latin players. Now, the rest of those guys kind of lived up to that. Gleyber had maybe a year or two. Obviously, the Yankees tried to move him to shortstop, and he hasn't been the same since. I've been wanting to part ways with Gleyber for 3 years.
He's a victim of hitting all those home runs that first year.
Yeah, yeah, 2019 juice ball year, he had 38 homers. Yep. And the year before, he was second runner-up to the Rookie of the Year behind Miguel Andujar when Shohei won it. I just feel like Gleyber Torres.
Can I tell you one more thing?
Yes,
sir. Can I do one more thing?
Yes,
sir. Send me back to your screener. I'll give you my number if you ever want to go to a Coast Guard game.
Yeah, what division? I just looked you guys up. New Mac, CCC?
Yeah, we play MIT.
Okay.
And you don't want to play them in a debate, but you don't want to do a science project against them. Yeah, we play a real tough Division III schedule.
Yeah, and I'm like, do you guys play anybody in Jersey? Because I'm only ever in Connecticut
We play Trenton State. We play Glassboro State,
okay,
which is Rowan.
Yeah.
In the past,
yep.
We've played those teams. But I'll give you a number to my screen, your screener, if you want to get tickets and come down, man.
You guys play on Saturdays?
Saturdays.
Yeah, yep. Maybe. What else were you going to say? Was there a Yankee another Yankee point, or just that?
No, that was it. I was just going to thank you for getting me a recruit, man. I got a linebacker out of you.
Yeah, coincidence, man. I know in recruiting, all it takes is one little thing for it to feel like, okay, yeah, I'm going there, or this feels like home, or I'm going to sign with these guys. And you had that in common with the guy, the Knicks fan. That was enough for him to say, okay, coach, I'm coming.
Well, listen, you got a great show. You're a good
dude. I'm working on it every day, Jay. Appreciate it, bro. Thanks for the call. I guess he's going to say I listened to you. I think I was listening to Sal this morning talk about I didn't catch all of it. I was watching on Twitch. But he was talking about like how much time you guys take up telling us that you like us or you like the show. And he's like, Sal's the best. Sal's just different than all of us. But he's like, we know that. You're listening to the show. You're calling the show. Like, we assume that. Like, when you call, we're having a conversation about sports. I want your sports take. I want your sports point. I get it that you're like, yo, Sal's different, bro. He doesn't even want people to call and be like, hey, you and BT are the best on the fan. Or, hey, Sal, heard you in the overnight, love hearing you in the midday. Sal's like, save all that. Just get to your point. Josh in the Bronx. How funny is that? Like, hey, Josh, just tell me your Yankee point. Don't tell me you love me.
Well, did you hear Evan and TT? Some guy suggested that Sal wear Evan's beard as a toupee. That was so funny. But anyway, I know where you're coming from, man. But that Clay Holmes, he had a 4-1 lead a couple of Friday nights ago. I think it was down at the Trashacana Stadium or whatever it was in Tampa. And Gleyber Torres, they had an out. He cut in front of Volpe,
yeah,
man.
It was the Mariners game. It was.
Oh, the Mariners. Yeah. All right, yeah. But I'm telling you, they had that. They had that. Whoever, you know. I mean, you know, your points are right on, and you know what you're talking about, Keith. And you know that other caller, Marcus or whatever he was, who mentioned me. Shout out to him, man. But you know, you're calling the shots, man. Enjoy your weekend and have a great, you know, enjoy the games.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Marcus? Nah. My guy Karan from Montclair referenced Josh from the Bronx. And he said, you know, how Josh is always like, you got it. Like, Josh will try and get out of the way. Like, I'm gonna let you take it, Keith. You guys are hilarious, man. The callers make the show. I have a little different perspective as a younger guy, as somebody who hasn't been in the industry as long, and I guess I'm not as, you know, classically WFAN trained. I'm not trying to be like Francesa, and I'm not trying to, you know, make my show sound like anybody else's show. Like, I appreciate you guys, straight up. Like, people that listen to my show, that call my show, like, I give you the time and respect because, like, I'm a solo host, and I don't know, I want to hear what you got to say. And you never know who's on the other side of the phone. Like, I didn't know Ray was calling up today. Shout out to Ray. I didn't know Karan was calling today, who I've met in person, who, like I said, has hooked me up with a pair of shoes. And now is like, yo, I want to continue to be your, you know, sneaker connoisseur. Like, we are all sports fans. I think we all obviously love baseball, basketball, football, hockey. We love WFAN. I had a tweet that kind of picked up traction the other day because some guy, Bob, wrote on Twitter under, I don't know, one of the WFAN posts quoting something that I said. And what he wrote on Twitter was, the station is unlistenable. I listened from morning to night. And I replied, and I said, how is WFAN unlistenable if you listened all day? You guys crack me up, man. Even the people that are haters, like, oh, the station's become unlistenable. I listened morning to night. So I don't even get a chance to listen all day. So you mean to tell me WFAN is unlistenable, but you spent your entire day, sun up to sun down, listening to Boomer and Geo, BT and Sal, Evan and Tiki, and Keith McPherson. Terrible radio station, terrible shows. Chris in Monmouth County, New Jersey, you're on the Fan.
Yo, Keith. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Yeah, I'm 47, so in the 90s, and you probably even remember this too, the nice cars had the CD player in the trunk.
I've never seen that, the luxury cars. Didn't they used to have 8-tracks in cars that you put the 8-track
in? But like in 1995, they had like a Mazda Millennia, and they had like the Infiniti. And if you had like an Infiniti, I didn't have an Infiniti.
What if you end up in traffic and you want to change your Notorious B.I.G. CD to Dr. Dre?
No deal. You got to preload the CDs, and then it's all in the changer.
I had
a Honda Accord back in the day with a 5-disc changer. That was beautiful. Now you're right; they don't even make the CD in the car anymore.
No, there's nowhere to put a CD in your car because everything's digital. Plug your CarPlay in, man. What I'm struggling with these new iPhones, I guess I got to order an actual Apple cord, but it's like it doesn't stay. It's like glitchy.
Keith, I'm an Android guy. Anti-iPhone. My family's all iPhone. I'm no iPhone. So how does that work?
With your car? Is there an Android like CarPlay app?
No, I'm old school. Like I'm old school. I put
you're
it on speaker.
To the radio. You're
talk.
Listening to That's FM 101.9 FM.
So two Yankee points. One on Cashman. One on Soto. So you know, I don't know if you watch The Sopranos.
Yeah.
But Cashman is like Tony Soprano. Like, he's always dealing with stress all the time. And he's not always making the right decisions, but he does make the right decisions when it's time to make the right decisions. And, you know, you deal with athletes and players that one year they're good, one year they're not. So I think some of the disrespect he gets is warranted at sometimes. But overall, you have a track record of consistency for so long that's why the Yankees are the Yankees. Part of it. That's part of the Yankee history. I mean, you walk through, if you're lucky enough to sit in the luxury seats and you go to the private area, you go up the elevator and you're walking past the suites with the numbered suites and all the people who wore the players award their numbers. I mean, I grew up a Mets fan, right? My wife's all Yankees, but I got to tell you, like, it's crazy. And the one thing I'll say is with Soto, there's no way he's signing with the Mets. I mean, yeah, if Steve Cohen throws unbelievable amount of money, he, of course, who wouldn't consider it? But I hear the Mets fan like fantasizing. Oh, he's gonna sign. He's not going to sign with the Mets, and I don't see how anybody has that logic. But either way, man, get yourself a Mazda Millennia from 1995 with the 9-chain CD player in the back, and you put the windows down and you drive to Red Bank. And you'll have a good day, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Shout out to Red Bank. I'm not getting one of those cars. Like I just said, bro, like I have like this glitchy Amazon Basics wire that's USB to USB-C. And sometimes I'm riding and it's just like Apple Play disconnected. I'm like, come on, man. And like when I dip out of here to go through the tunnel, especially late at night, I haven't heard any of C-Mac shows tonight. I said that to C-Mac yesterday. What I'll do, because you lose WFAN in the tunnel, I'll plug in Apple CarPlay. I'll go to the Odyssey app, and I'll play the Odyssey app, and you don't lose the app. But I'm like, I guess I got to buy an actual iPhone cord. No, my car is a 2019, so I think what it is just like the 2019 cars weren't expecting to deal with these brand-new iPhone 15s and these USB to USB-C wires. The technology that we actually have is ridiculous. The things that we can do, even the other night, last Friday, after the DJ's party, I was so happy to myself with a nice little buzz on in the hotel. My wife is sleeping. My son is sleeping. And I'm able to go from watching the Mets game and the Mets blow it, and I'm cracking up, to Twitter to see Frank the Tank's reaction. Then the Yankees come on and Soto homers, Judge homers, Stanton homers. I'm watching that. Then I'm watching, you know, Luka Doncic versus Rudy Gobert with the game on the line. Cross him up real quick, drain the three, bang. And I'm just like, yo, I'm doing all of this from my phone with my AirPods in. When I was a kid, you couldn't do that. You had to go from channel to channel and you would miss something. I'm like, the fact that I can seamlessly go to box scores, go to HBO Max to watch TNT, to the Yes app, to, you know, it's great. It's great. And these kids are spoiled. You kids should be the most smart sports fan. You guys are probably smarter than me because everything is at your fingertips. You don't need to get the box scores and stats from the newspaper or go online to, you know, it's all in your phone. You can watch live games. You can even bet on the games now live. So, yeah, it's crazy. And I'm talking about, you know, putting CDs into cars. And I used to ride around with a thing that carried 40 CDs. I used to burn CDs every week. Anyway, that's, I'm dating myself. I'm showing my age. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Talking about the Yankees, and to reply to what Chris was saying about Cashman, I don't know if he's Tony Soprano, but Cashman has been around for a long time. He's made a ton of mistakes, but he's also made a ton of moves that make the Yankees the Yankees. I was having a conversation with my boy two nights ago. I'm like, man, Cashman gets all this flack. Imagine if we were the Mets. Just Cashman should get respect just for keeping the Yankees brand intact year after year. We never experience things like our Mets fan friends experience. But the Mets are winning right now 5-4 as the sun's setting over Citi Field. Let's take this break. We'll take more of your calls on the Yankees, on the Mets, and the Rangers, of course. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Now the pass across, they score! The Rangers take a 4-3 lead with 4:19 remaining. Long shift and the finish by Chris Kreider.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, 1 hour left for me on this Friday. Another good week and ending the month of May. It's been a great month. You're listening to Keith McPherson on The Fan. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to join the show. So, Pete Alonso was frustrated, but he got some of that frustration out. He just doubled here in the bottom of the fourth, and that double scores Tomas Nito. This Mets lineup, this Mets team, and these Mets these black Mets jerseys, they're doing what they got to do. It's 6-4 in Queens as the Mets just look different, man. They look like they're having competitive at-bats. They're scoring runs. And they're passing the baton. No homers yet, but guys are just getting hits. They have 7 hits, have scored 6 runs. Brandon Nimmo is up right now with Pete Alonso on second base, 1 out here in the 4th inning. And we're getting ready for this Yankee game as the Yankees keep on rolling. And the Yankees are heading, not heading, they're there now. The Yankees are about to open up a series with the San Francisco Giants. And Marcus Stroman is on the mound, and Aaron Judge is there, and you know what else. So, something else I wanted to do tonight was talk about the NBA Finals and basketball, because I think in my open I talked about how since the Knicks have been out, you know, we've kind of tuned that out and we've put all of our energy into the Rangers, obviously because they represent the city. But, man, I think this is going to be a great NBA Finals. I think it could go 7. I think we're going to see the best of guys like Luka and Kyrie Irving, and I expect Boston to fold between, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. If they fold again, you got to break those two up. Derek White, and I remember looking at this team when they were able to get Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday, and I'm like, who allowed this? Now you're going to get to see Drew Holiday versus Kyrie. Drew Holiday's a good defender, but he can't stop Kyrie. And what are you going to put, Tatum on Luka or Jaylen Brown on Luka? Like, there's going to be some interesting matchups in this series. Game 1 isn't until next Thursday, and that is also interesting as well, because with the Celtics sweeping the Pacers, that's just a lot of time off. A funny clip last night was Vice President Michael Finley, former Dallas Maverick, former NBA player, walking up to Luka Doncic, who's celebrating with his, you know, NBA Finals gear on, heading to the finals. He's celebrating with a beer in his hand. I just said, I'm going to crack a beer in here in probably 45 minutes. And Michael Finley walks by Luka and just calmly takes the beer out of his hands, almost kind of signaling, hey, man, not right now.
And a lot of people drew different conclusions from that. My conclusion was, oh, hey, the cameras are on, right? And you're drinking this beer in front of the cameras. We don't have to do that. And also, like Kobe said, job's not finished. And it's just one beer, but you don't want to celebrate too hard. You want to recover. You want to rest. You want to stay focused because the job's not finished. The Dallas Mavericks have to defeat the Boston Celtics. I think every Knicks fan wants to see that. I don't know how many Nets fans want to see Kyrie Irving win a championship, but I got over that through the course of this playoffs. I'm not so mad at Kyrie anymore as a Nets fan. And as I look at the Brooklyn Nets who just rolled out their new coaching staff and how mid they are, I'm like, no, this was all written. This was all written. This was all destined, right? Because Josiah, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, thought he was doing something by not trading Kyrie to the Lakers. He thought he was, you know, sending him away to Texas. And I think that's exactly what Kyrie needed. Kyrie didn't belong here in New York in this media market with his, you know, outside of the box thoughts and his way of doing things. It just never was going to work. Even though he wanted to come home and, you know, be a New Jersey Net, now Brooklyn Net, it just was never going to work with the way Kyrie kind of went about things. And he needed to go out there to Texas and lock in. He hasn't been a distraction. And now you see what happens when Kyrie can be the Robin to a Batman like Luka. And that's what Nets fans thought he was going to be to KD. 888-808-1019. I am really rooting for the Mavericks to win. If it takes seven, it takes seven. I'd just much rather see former Net Jason Kidd get another ring. I saw something today that he was the point guard of the Mavs team that beat, you know, LeBron. And it's just like crazy to think about all those years back with Dirk and that team winning. I'd rather see Mark Cuban get another championship. Man, he's a great owner, and I think he sold part of his ownership. So there's some new owners who would be getting their first ring. Like I'm rooting for the Dallas Mavericks to beat the Celtics. I don't want to see the Celtics win anything. All right, back to the phone. Dave is in Clifton, New Jersey. Dave, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking a call, man. Yes, sir. And I just appreciate what you just said, because I know I had you on the opening monologue, but I was a little distracted and I didn't really catch what you said, but you just cleared up a lot of things that I was calling in about. I did want to know your take about Kyrie, and if you were, but I knew you had like that disdain for the Celtics, you know? So I was just like hearing that. I just wanted to hear what you had to say about it. I love your feedback.
I hate the Celtics.
Yo, you know what? I just want to say something, bro. You're always geared up, bro. You always geared up, and that's what I appreciate about you, man. You say things sometimes that I'm like, I want to scream. But you know what? You're always geared up, bro. You're always geared up. You say how it is, bro. And you do it in a New York way, bro. And I appreciate that so much, man.
Yeah, it's just I'm just real. I'm blessed to be here.
Hey, and
I'm
by the way, I just had some family graduate from Monmouth University as well, bro.
So oh, nice. Go Hawks. Did you go to the graduations at PNC Arts Center?
She actually had a special ceremony for the athletes, bro, because she was on the track team, bro.
Oh, wow. Nice.
She was competing. So I went to the Woodrow Wilson Hall.
Oh,
we went there the week before.
Yeah, that place is awesome.
Days before. Dude, but man, I thank you so much, man. I thank you so much for giving it to, like, you give it the way. And yo, it's amazing. You're a Cowboys fan, bro. It's a Cowboys fan, but you're doing it. You're rocking it, bro. You're rocking it, bro. And I appreciate that, bro. And I'm a Giants fan, bro. I'm a Giants fan. I'm so upset right now, bro, with the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants haven't been good in a long time.
I don't know why they want to broach on that, bro.
Because
I was going to talk about Kyrie. And just like you said, bro, this is going to be really a special NBA moment, bro. And I'm a hardcore Knicks fan, bro. I remember with you and the Nets, bro. I remember when you were talking about Kyrie and that, and how upsetting it got, so, bro. Dude, I remember the whole thing with the whole COVID, bro. Dude, I remember hearing you, bro, and I just appreciate your whole thing, your whole content, bro. You had the little kids calling you late night, hey, yo, what are you doing about this? I was like, yo, man, this guy's great. And one more final thing I want to say to you, bro, is big fat shout out to Josh in the Bronx.
Thanks for the call, Dave. A few things, yeah. Man, I was a Kyrie fan. Him coming out of high school, and then I also was a Duke fan growing up, just being a front runner. You know, you just heard Dave say you're a Cowboys fan. Listen, nobody taught me sports. Nobody told me to do this stuff. It was just always in me. It's naturally in me. That's why I see my son now, and my son sees the basketballs I have in my little studio, and he's drawn to it. Basketball. And he can't even say. He's like, "Babball, babball." And I'm just like, "Come this way, young man. Like, if you have in me what I had in me naturally, like, you have the right dad." And, you know, I was just drawn to sports young and always just loved everything. Football, basketball, baseball, really. I was a hockey fan, too, young, but I fell out of hockey when they locked out because I just didn't understand it, and I had no one to explain it to me, like, whatever. And then, you know, the winter sports, hockey and NBA overlapping, I just locked more into the NBA. But now I'm a hockey fan again. And, you know, when you guys hear me talk about this stuff, it's a passion, and I've been able to turn it into my profession. And this is all I really do. I don't watch streaming. So, like, I'm on the second episode of the 1990 Bronx Zoo series. I can't get past the second episode because I don't have time to watch. I'm always watching live sports. I go home and I watch live sports until I'm going to go to sleep. And then when I do the later shows at night, I go home and I watch SportsCenter and I watch Quick Pitch. And I, you know, I'll watch SNY Sports Night over and over because I don't know. I care mostly about sports. And shout out to Monmouth University. Luckily, I was able to play sports there after transferring from James Madison University and realizing I'm not going to the NFL and I don't want to go to the NFL. I'm like, I'm not good enough and like I'm just not big enough, fast enough, strong enough. Like, it's not a reality. I need to lock in. And I locked in. I got my communication degree, spent a lot of time in the Plangier building, kind of honing my craft on Hawk TV, a live TV set that, you know, we shot content that was aired all through campus, and then WMCX 88.9, an FM radio station where, shout out to Professor Ferg, we're going to figure out something for the fall, Ferg, for me to come back to campus. I don't need to be paid for it, nothing. I just want to show love because you guys showed love and gave me airtime and let me, you know, do whatever I wanted on the radio, from reading baseball scores to breaking down games and interviewing people and even DJing live on those airwaves. And you know, Dave just said his daughter or his niece, maybe I missed which one it was, graduated from Monmouth University. I didn't even walk. I'm from Monmouth County. I didn't want to go to PNC Bank Arts Center and sit there in the hot sun. I didn't even walk. My grandmother always said, she's like, "You're not one for pomp and circumstance." Like, that's always like, I don't tell people about my birthday either. It's awkward. I don't want all those texts. My birthday was May 1st. I got way more texts as soon as it got announced that I was filling in for Susan Waldman. I'm like, my phone's blowing up. It's too much. It's crazy. But I didn't even walk. I had to mail me my diploma, but I'm glad I graduated, man. I dropped out of school twice. I dropped out of James Madison University. I dropped out of Monmouth University. And both times it was really football related, like playing football, going to school, partying, going to class. Like, something's got to give. You can't be a student athlete partier. And both times I dropped out of school is because I was like, I don't want to go to practice anymore. I don't want to go to lifting anymore. I don't want to go to running anymore. But everything happens for a reason. And I'm able to bring those stories here to the radio. And I bring my passion to the radio because, you know, somebody can replace me like that. I remember around this time last year when I was on my paternity leave, I won't say I was paranoid, but I was just very aware of the fact that, like, yo, all they did was bump Salicato up to the night shift. And then a bunch of other people were in line to do the overnight. And it's like, anybody can be replaced. You better come in here and bring it. You better have something that sets you apart. You better have knowledge. You better have notes. You better be able to talk about the live game going on. You better be able to talk about all the sports. So that's what it is. Unfortunately, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan in this market. But there's a lot of you listening that are Dallas Cowboys fans. And, I mean, I just don't even think it matters. I'm not high on the Dallas Cowboys. I was on the radio in San Francisco today. Shout out to Guru, who has me join 95.7 to talk about the Yankees. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan in 49er land. And he's talking about not paying Dak. And I'm like, I could care less about the Cowboys at this point, man. Whatever they do, they do. But, yeah, talking about the NBA Finals and Kyrie, if you guys remember, you know, me coming into the Fan, I had the Talking Nets podcast, and I was on Pinstripe Strong podcast under John Boy Media when I entered WFAN. So everything I was doing was geared around Yankee fans and Nets fans, and that's how I even started to get, you know, followers, get noticed, get a buzz. And when I came into WFAN, I leaned heavily on that because I felt like that's what I had to do. But obviously, I've evolved, and I've learned that this radio station is for all of us. It's bigger than anybody on the mic or anybody that calls in, and you should lean more into the stories. So that's why I didn't put my Nets fandom in front of the run that the Knicks just had. And even though I was adopted by the Devils coming into WFAN, I didn't put that in front of what the Rangers are doing. And I'm not going to put my Nets fandom and what I did feel about Kyrie and his shenanigans and his nonsense in front of what's happening right now, because they're separate things. I think Doug Norrie put this out on Twitter. He said two things can be true, right? The Brooklyn Nets needed Kyrie out of Brooklyn, and Kyrie needed out of Brooklyn. Like, it wasn't working here. And the powers that be, the forces that combined to mess that up, from a pandemic and the rules here in New York about him having to get vaccinated. And obviously, you know, this guy, he challenges everything. This is a guy that people still talk about when he said that the earth was flat. So he's a different thinker. He marches to the beat of his own drum. He's an artist. When you watch him play basketball, you understand this guy's different. And it didn't work here. And it's sad for Brooklyn Nets fans, because Kevin Durant came here specifically for Kyrie Irving. And he signed a four-year extension to stay here. And a lot of us were waiting for Kyrie to sign his extension, but the Brooklyn Nets couldn't trust him from being in the COVID times, and him having some private party and videos pop up of him having a party for his dad and his sister, and that was a problem. Kobe Bryant passed, and he didn't show up to work because of his relationship with Kobe. The anti-Semitism, there's no way that was going to fly here in New York, specifically Brooklyn, him posting a video or a link to a video that had an anti-Semitic message that he later on admitted that he didn't even watch. And then, you know, all of the just nonsense that he brought to the team, and, you know, they suspended him, and then not for nothing, it hurt the team. James Harden didn't want to be on the team because he thought he was playing with Kyrie and KD, and I know you guys remember, but, you know, what I'm saying is, last year, the second half of the year, once Kyrie pressed the button and he wanted out and they traded him to Dallas and they traded KD to Phoenix, I just was like, all right, man, I don't want to see these guys have any success. They blew this team up. But I kind of came around on it this year watching the Brooklyn Nets absolutely suck, where I realized that's part of being a Nets fan. This is what the Nets do. They did it again. Like, when I look at the Celtics team, and the Celtics team that they have is partly because of the trade that went on over 10 years ago and the picks that were given up when the Nets decided, yeah, we'll take a washed Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Jason Terry. And Jason Kidd was the head coach of that team. Now he's the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. So I want him to win. He couldn't get it done with the shenanigans that went on in Brooklyn, them trying to get a quick microwave championship team. I was there in 2013 in that Bulls series. I was at that the game before Nate Robinson went off. And, you know, fast forward to now with Kyrie. Kyrie was able to get away. I don't know what his life is like in Texas, but it was the right fit for him. It was the right place for him. And they believed in him, and they took a chance on him. And taking that chance and putting him with Luka Doncic, they're in the NBA Finals. And who am I betting on? Who am I rooting for? I'm rooting for Jason Kidd, the Dallas Mavericks, Luka Doncic, who's been looked at as one of the faces of the NBA, a potential MVP for the last 4 years. He's arguably the best player in this series. I'm rooting for those guys to beat the Celtics, because I'm not going to hate on one man versus a whole team, franchise, city, fan base. I've got no love for Boston and the Boston Celtics. So there's my NBA final spiel. 888-808-1019. We can take a call here. Nobody's calling to talk, really. Actually, yeah, I was about to say, is there one NBA finals call? Yeah, there was. It was Dave from Clifton. But also, here's another one. Roni's in Hicksville. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going, Keith?
Good. The Mets are up 8-4 now. They're piling it on. It's Friday night. We're talking all sports on the Fan. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for picking up. I really appreciate it. I've been tuning in since this morning. I wanted to talk about to the Mets fans, addicted to the postseason. All I have to say is Nikola Jokic, and for all the free agents, you know, as a Yankee fan, why can't we sign all the good players? You know what I mean?
Wait, so let's back up. addicted to the postseason was a J.D. Martinez quote when he was asked about joining the Mets. You parlayed that into Nikola Jokic?
Yeah, of course, because as soon as he won the championship, he wanted to go straight back home.
Yeah, well, they came up short this year running into Ant-Man and the T-Wolves. But all you need is one chip. He won the MVP this year. He didn't win it last year. Last year, he didn't win the MVP. He ends up getting finals MVP and a championship ring. And, yeah, Jokic is different than any other NBA player we've ever seen, his style of play and his personality. But as far as the Yankees buying every player, why we can't do that is because Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, Randy Levine, these guys, they're not trying to pay that 110% tax for going over the Steve Cohen tax. They are trying to be responsible, and they are trying to field a team where, of course, you're going to have to pay Garrett Cole and Giancarlo Stanton, Judge and Soto ridiculous money, but you got to save money on some other players, and I think they're on the pathway to doing that with some of these young guys.
Okay, yeah, I could respect that. There's always, you know, I got to educate myself more on that. I just recently became a real Yankee fan.
It's all good. In the past, that's what everybody said. Oh, George just goes out and buys championships, right? In 2009, they went out and got CC Sabathia, Mark Teixeira, AJ Burnett, Nick Swisher. Like, they just loaded up. But in this day and age, you're also seeing with this expanded postseason, you know, the teams with the highest payroll don't necessarily make it. The teams that do go out in the offseason, like the Yankees tonight, are about to face a team that went out and bought a bunch of players, and they're barely over 500.
Yeah, I'm actually definitely going to tune in. It's going to be the first game I watch fully. I don't remember. But also to the Mets fans, like, there's nothing wrong with Citi Field. Like, Citi Field is really nice. I went there with my younger brother a few years ago. It's a very nice, like,
it's a great
stadium.
It's a great ballpark. Yeah. There's great food. Yeah. I think it's a good ballpark. There's something wrong with the team and the franchise. Thanks for the call, bro. 888-808-1019. People aren't pulling up. There's no one that's not going because they don't like the view. They don't like the food selection. It's the team. There are Mets fans that show up to watch the team, and they get embarrassed with the team blowing games. But right now, these Mets look like they've turned the corner, look like something has changed in that clubhouse. They have scored 8 runs. They have a 4-run lead. They're getting it done. They're piling on. Luis Severino is through 5 innings, only giving up 4 hits. And obviously he had a rough first inning, but he settled in. He's got 4 Ks. And looking at this lineup, man, your top 3 hitters all have hits. The top 2 have ribbies. Starling Marte has 4 RBI and 2 hits. Vientos has 2 hits, 2 RBI. Like, so, man, it's a good night at the ballpark if you did go. And if you're just at home watching the game on Pix 11, 888-808-1019. We've got 5 minutes until we got to get to the next break. Here's a good segue. As the last caller was talking about buying players, and we're talking about the Mets, I just don't think that there's any way that Juan Soto signs with the Mets. We can play this game for the next 6 months of Steve Cohen and how much money he has. He's going to have to offer $800 million. And all Scott Boras and Juan Soto are going to do is go back to the Yankees and say, hey, can you at least get us an offer close to this? And there's so many ways for them to finesse and finagle these contracts now with deferred money, with AAV, whatever. Where, like, there's no way. Juan Soto is the fiercest competitor you watch on a night-to-night basis. He's already a champion. And he's most likely going to be a Hall of Famer. He's got a taste of being a Yankee now. The Yankees want him. And the Yankees have money, too. Scott Boras is going to use Steve Cohen again to drive up the price. And I have an inkling that David Stearns knows that. And Steve Cohen knows that. And with this pursuit of Yamamoto and how that played out, I think that they're going to have a line for Juan Soto. Of course they should try, right? Of course there should be an offer when we get to December and hear, okay, the Mets coming at this, but I don't think there's going to be as much of a back and forth and raising the offer because I think we all know that Juan Soto is right at home with the New York Yankees, and the Yankees just got to raise their offer to make sure that this guy's one of the highest paid players in the league, if not the highest. I know Ohtani has that $700 million contract, but really, it's like 43 a year or something like that. We'll have plenty of time to have those conversations in December. My guy Jarvis back on the Fan from Harlem. What's up, Jarvis?
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
I'm all right. You know,
ending the week strong.
That's what's up. Yeah, like you say about Juan Soto. I mean, it's like well, I listen to the Midday Show with Salakar with his bandwagon of believing Steve Cohen, and he believes in him. Think that
he's got to stay. He said it today. He's like, I got to stick with what I believe in, and Sal's put it out there.
He can believe all he wants to. He can sit there and tell you he's going to sign with the Mets next year. But I believe it when I see it. You know what? It means if we talk about middle of May of the regular season, we're not in winter meetings. We're not free agents. He's a Yankee now. He's ours. That's all that matters. So.
Yeah, it's just hard to believe that there's even any other teams. Like, I just talked about San Francisco going out and spending money and how they tried to get Judge. They tried to get Correa. I don't see them throwing a bag at Juan Soto where he says, yeah, I'll come there too.
Right. He can talk about it like to the blue faces. He can sit there telling me I'm not going to back down and say what I have to say. This is my opinion or whatever. So that's great.
Yeah, that's what you're going to get. Somebody's got to do it, I guess. Somebody's got to keep hope alive. I think, thanks for the call, Jarvis. I think this about Sal. Sal has his takes. Sal is a pro. Sal will not back down from something that he's put out there, and he believes what he believes. So, I mean, you can disagree, and you can disagree with me. You can disagree with any of our hosts, but there's something to be said about somebody that has conviction, that has a certain way of thinking, and is going to stick with it. I mean, he was all in on Yamamoto. How did that go? I forget what night it was. I ripped off like seven things that Sal was wrong about. He's not afraid to be wrong. We're all going to be wrong. You know, I thought Aaron Judge was hurt. Aaron Judge wasn't hurt. Glad to be wrong. But yeah, as far as Juan Soto, man, it just sounds far-fetched to see what's going on in Queens. I remember having a show where I was like, okay, here is the only way I see this happening. The Yankees would have to be dysfunctional and underperforming, and the Mets would have to be overperforming and looking attractive and looking like the young players and their core is somewhere where he would want to go. It's the opposite so far. And, man, there's so many interviews out there. Harold Reynolds from MLB Network just sat with Juan Soto, and he talked about being a Latin player, and he talked about the fan base and how they embrace you, and he talked about the Yankees. Like, he came into the Yankees redid their clubhouse completely. It's arguably the best clubhouse in Major League Baseball. I joined Evan and Tiki on stage at the Memorial Day weekend kickoff at DJ's, and we were talking about it. And I talked about just the construction of the stadiums. Right field in Citi Field is not even built in a way for the fans to embrace Juan Soto like we do in Yankee Stadium. The guy has found a home, and I think the Yankees know that they've got to pay this guy. And I think that they're already talking about it. And you got Scott Boras out there talking about he's a centurion. He's one of the best players we've seen in the last 100 years. And he'll make billions of dollars for whatever team signs him. Listen, they have to do all of that. They have to sell. They have to put him out there like he potentially could land anywhere else, even if he wants to stay with the Yankees in his heart of hearts. He has to say, I'm open to anybody. And then we'll see what happens when he hits the open market and drives the price up for the New York Yankees. But in my heart of hearts, I believe the New York Yankees have leverage. And I said that the first month of the season, going to the ballpark and seeing how this guy fit in myself. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got 30 minutes left. We'll be right back.